From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Friday, April 12th, and here are today's headlines. Lawmakers in the House Committees on Judiciary and the Environment held a joint hearing yesterday on a major climate bill. The Climate Superfund Act would make big oil companies pay for a share of the damage their products cause Vermont by contributing to global warming. It tasks the state treasurer with compiling a list of what climate change has cost Vermont already and what it will cost to adapt in the future. Treasurer Mike Pichek supports the policy.
This damage has happened and these investments need to be made. And the question is, who's gonna pay for those investments, Vermont taxpayers or the individual entities that caused the damage to exist in the first place and be exacerbated over time?
Pichek says he's confident his staff can get the work done on the timeline the bill requires. The Agency of Natural Resources is asking lawmakers to extend some of the key deadlines for when the program would start. A supermajority of senators voted last week in support of the policy. Meanwhile, the Vermont Bond Bank has created a flood resiliency fund that will loan $15 million to some Vermont communities hit hard by last year's floods. The bank received a loan through the 10% Vermont Initiative, which allows the state to invest cash into low-interest loans. That's according to WCAX. 18 towns in 9 counties will receive loans to help rebuild roads, bridges, wastewater plants, and other projects while they wait for reimbursements from FEMA. A quick note, by the way, that Vermont Bond Bank is a Vermont public underwriter. The EPA this week set the first ever federal limits on PFAS in public drinking water. Vermont has its own requirements, but the new rule largely goes beyond what the state currently requires. Under the EPA rule, public drinking water suppliers will have to test for PFAS every few years. The agency has said virtually no level of exposure to the so-called forever chemicals is safe for humans. Haley Jones is with Slingshot. That's a grassroots environmental group that helps communities like North Bennington organize against polluters.
But this for us is also proof that all this organizing on the ground does work and that the federal government finally had to listen to us.
The Biden administration has set aside billions of federal dollars to do this work, but state officials say it's not yet clear whether some cost will be passed on to water customers. In other news from the nation's capital, Representative Becca Ballant has joined 55 of her House Democratic colleagues to urge President Joe Biden to withhold weapons shipments to Israel until humanitarian aid is provided in Gaza and an investigation into the attack on aid workers with World Central Kitchen is conducted. Ballant says she's concerned that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government is restricting the flow of aid into Gaza and is planning to attack the city of Rafah, a site where many Palestinians have fled in recent weeks.
I believe the president has to be a forceful and clear voice for a ceasefire. We cannot continue to give this right-wing government, this extremist right-wing government, a blank check. We just can't.
Ballant says there will never be a meaningful peace effort in the Middle East as long as the Netanyahu government remains in power. And Goddard College announced earlier this week that it will close its doors at the end of the spring semester after 86 years in operation. Founded in Plainfield in 1938, the school is known for its progressive, self-directed, and interdisciplinary education. A press release from the college said the board unanimously voted to close the school due to significant financial pressure. Goddard President Dan Hocoy said the school has faced financial challenges for the past 5 decades, but trends in higher education expedited the college's closure.
So the combined impact of demographic shifts, changing educational preferences, changing technology, and I think what tipped us was the inflationary pressures on our students, which impacted their ability to attend Goddard.
The school has seen a significant drop in enrollment. It has about 220 students today, down from around 1,900 in the 1970s. Goddard went completely online in January, a move officials said was temporary. Hocoy said the college is establishing a scholarship fund to help current students continue their education at Arizona's Prescott College. Coming up, Bram Kronickfeld has a resume that includes jobs as an attorney and an ordained priest. Liam Elder Connors has a closer look at what Kronickfeld hopes to accomplish in his new role as the top prosecutor in Franklin County. That's after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to Vita for their support. Vita, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit veda.org to start your next chapter.
Franklin County's got a new top prosecutor. Governor Phil Scott permanently appointed Bram Kronickfeld about 3 weeks ago. Kronickfeld is a veteran prosecutor and an ordained priest who took over as interim state's attorney in September after his predecessor resigned amid an impeachment inquiry. As Liam Elder Connors reports, Kronickfeld's first priority has been to restore stability to the office.
This is docket 23CR9778.
On a recent Tuesday morning, Judge Allison Arms began a routine change of plea hearing in Franklin County Criminal Court. The defendant, who appeared via video from the state prison in St. Albans, was going to plead guilty to a charge of operating a motor vehicle without the owner's consent.
Looks like the agreed-upon sentence is 8 months to 2 years concurrent.
There was a slight hitch. Franklin County State's Attorney Bram Kronickfeld told the judge the victim wanted to be at the hearing, and Kronickfeld also needed to sign the plea agreement.
I'd ask that the court set this out for a change of plea to give us time to notify the victim and allow her to be here.
Arms agreed to reschedule the court date. The hearing lasted about 5 minutes, and it was mostly unremarkable, except perhaps for the presence of Kronickfeld. It was only a few years ago that he left his long career as an attorney to become an Episcopal priest. But when John Lavoie, the previous Franklin County State's attorney, resigned last year during a discrimination scandal, Kronickfeld decided to step up.
It was a really hard decision to make because at that time I had just finished my first year as an ordained priest.
An internal investigation released last May found that Lavoie harassed and discriminated against his employees. The legislature took the rare step of launching an impeachment investigation, but Lavoie stepped down before it was completed. Kronickfeld says when he took over as interim state's attorney, he almost immediately called a staff meeting.
I think the main theme of that meeting was, for me, a message of, I come in peace. You know, I'm here. You know, I see my mission here as one of healing and restoration.
Kronickfeld spent nearly a decade working in the Chittenden County State's Attorney's Office. But in early 2017, he got passed over to lead that office. And a few months before that, his father died. Those two events sparked a moment of personal and professional reflection, which led Kronickfeld to begin the path towards becoming a priest, a process that took about 5 years and included getting a master's degree in divinity from the Montreal School of Theology. Kronickfeld says when he left his law career, he wasn't expecting to return.
So many surprising things have happened over the years that it's really hard to try to predict, you know, where things are going to be, you know. I mean, I have no regrets, and I think that this was and is the right place for me to be right now.
Kronickfeld, the 44-year-old father of two, says after a 4-year break from the law, he's returned with a fresh perspective and new skills, like listening with empathy.
It's a huge part of being a priest and guiding people through really, really tough life transitions and sitting with people in their experience. And I have found that to be very, very helpful in this, you know, coming back into this role as a prosecutor.
Kronickfeld's detour into the clergy isn't the only unusual part of his resume. He lives in Burlington, and while there are no residency requirements for state's attorneys, it is unusual to hold the position while living in another jurisdiction. Defense attorneys say Kronickfeld is making progress on steadying the prosecutor's office, which has about 1,600 pending cases. Paul Gross is co-supervising attorney at the Franklin County Public Defender's Office. He says communication with the state's attorney's office has improved.
You know, we don't see eye to eye on the cases, but as far as having a working, healthy relationship, I think I see a lot of potential for us to be able to collaborate when we need to collaborate and know when we have to fight.
Kronickfeld hopes to tackle a few big projects in Franklin County, like launching a treatment court program. Several Vermont counties have them, and the programs aim to help people whose criminal behavior is tied to drug use get help and keep them out of prison.
As a prosecutor, you know, we're often in this weird spot. We're in a system that's designed to hold people accountable for criminal behavior, but we're trying to find a way to get a person help through that system.
Kronickfeld's term lasts until January 2027. He says he hasn't decided if he'll go for another one. For Vermont Public, I'm Liam Elder Connors.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Abigail Giles, Nathaniel Wilson, Bob Kinzel, and Adia Golston. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelyan, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you Monday.
How are we supposed to fix what we don't talk about? Welcome to Homegoings, a Vermont Public podcast that encourages fearless conversations about art and race.
It's like an extended family, and especially around homegoing time.
Join us for Homegoings, wherever you get your podcasts. We're a proud member of the NPR network.